Hey, Judith. Oh, there's the rock star. Ready for a fun weekend?
Leave me alone.
Jake carries a guitar case.
Musicians.
Glenn, that child is driving me insane.
Like father, like son, huh?
Judith glares.
Really, that bad?
He's been sullen and uncooperative for days. I think he needs to see someone.
What, you mean like a shrink?
No, Alan, I mean like a blacksmith. This is clearly a reaction to our divorce. He's not processing his emotions in a healthy way, and I think therapy could help unblock him.
Where did you get that?
From my therapist.
Who's working wonders with you?
Excuse me?
Who's working wonders with you?
All he does is sit in his room and play that damn thing. He's isolating, Alan.
Well, that doesn't mean he needs to see a therapist. He's just a normal 11-year-old kid who happens to be a little grumpy.
And I'm a normal 35-year-old mother who happens to be running out of patience. And by patience, I mean Prozac.
Wait a minute. You can't still be 35 because...
She gives him a withering look.
Hey, he's getting pretty good at that.
Yeah, well, get used to it.
She hands him a backpack and leaves. Alan listens to the music, then looks upstairs. Charlie's in bed with a beautiful girl. He kisses the back of her neck. He starts kissing her in time with the music. She frowns.
Charlie, what are you doing?
Smoke on the water.
Charlie, Alan and Jake sing round a microphone.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men.
Two and a half men. Alan stands in the hall listening to the guitar. Charlie comes downstairs.
Okay. It's not cute anymore. Make him stop.
You're the one who bought him the guitar, Charlie.
The bed is vibrating so much up there, I'm no longer necessary.
I'm sorry my son's interrupted your afternoon debauchery, but I think he's upset about something.
What's he upset about?
I don't know. I was just giving him a little space before I talked to him.
You want me to talk to him?
Sure, and I'll finish for you upstairs. This is a father's job.
Alan walks down the corridor.
Tell him I just need, like, 20 minutes.
Alan pauses outside an oak panel door and knocks. He goes in. Jake sits strumming.
Can I come in?
Jake ignores Alan. He enters anyway.
Hey, it really sounds like you've got your mojo working. But let's try to turn it down now, okay? Because I love you, and I don't want that to change. So, how was your week?
Okay.
Anything I need to know? Anything bothering you?
No.
You sure? Because it seems like something's bothering you.
Okay, you want to know what's bothering me?
Yeah, yeah.
People keep on asking me what's bothering me.
Okay, I won't ask.
Good.
Jake's about to resume.
You know, when I was your age...
Oh, man.
Okay, forget that. Problems at school?
No.
Problems with mom?
No.
Because I understand that there's some things a guy doesn't want to talk with his mom about.
In the kitchen, Charlie opens a bottle of wine.
She sobered up on you, huh?
He turns to Berta.
No, I'm just being a good host.
Yeah, a little bit.
Alan walks in as Charlie pours.
Man.
Did you figure out what his problem is?
No, but we determined mine was late onset puberty.
You were a Mexican hairless, weren't you?
Did you check to see if he's constipated?
Berta, his mother and I are going through a divorce, and there's a lot of emotions he hasn't processed.
Maybe so, but there's also a lot of string cheese he hasn't processed.
You know, Judith thinks he needs to see a therapist.
Why, because it's working so good for her?
Hey, Charlie, that's uncalled for.
Come on, the kid's problem is he's 11. He can't drive, he can't drink, and his mother picks out all his clothes. Be thankful he's not in the garage biting the heads off of chickens.
This isn't like him.
Trust your first instinct. Just give him a little space, and probably by this time tomorrow...
They look round.
I will have killed him.
Charlie enters Jake's room. Charlie starts nodding in time with the music.
Not bad, but why don't you try fretting the E and the A string together?
Like my way.
Cool.
Charlie pulls out the lead.
Hey, what'd you do that for?
Look, I'm really happy you've taken up an instrument, and I'll be even happier when you learn an actual song. But right now, let's just take a little pause for the cause.
What do you want?
Nothing. I just thought we could hang out.
Jake stares at him incredulously.
A couple of musicians, taking five.
Jake continues to stare.
Just chilling.
Nothing's bothering me.
That's cool. I'm not trying to harsh your mellow. It's just I know there are certain things a guy doesn't want to talk to his parents about.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. Peer pressure, bullies. Skipping class to drive to Tijuana with the school nurse.
Charlie smiles to himself. Jake looks at him curiously in the kitchen.
I'm telling you, my youngest once ate a whole can of Play-Doh. Stopped her up for 2 weeks.
Berta, please.
Finally pooped out an ashtray.
Berta.
That's the day I quit smoking.
Sitting at the table, Alan sips some wine. Berta goes. Charlie returns.
Any luck?
Little snothead kicked me out of his room.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, but I'm the cool uncle.
Oh, and I'm the uncool dad?
Don't get defensive. You did the best you could.
Hey, that kid has nothing to complain about. He's never been spanked. He's never even been yelled at. And even while my marriage was collapsing, he always came first.
Well, I'm glad you're not defensive.
He has a great life. He gets everything he wants. I deny him nothing. Oh, my God, what have I done to my son?
Alan, I was kidding. You're a terrific father.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
You know what? You're right. I'm always too quick to blame myself.
Yes, you are.
It's his mother's fault.
Attaboy.
Later that evening, the three of them sit on the sofa watching TV.
Would you like me to make you a snack, Jake?
I'm not hungry.
You sure? We've got some pizza left from dinner.
Alan, he's up. He said he's not hungry. You'll eat when you want to, right?
Could you please not talk? I'm trying to watch.
Charlie turns to Alan.
Shh.
She was stupid.
You're right. Here, you pick something.
Thanks.
He gives Jake the remote.
Cool, Uncle.
Jake flicks through the channels.
Stupid. Stupid. Boring. Stupid. Seen it. Stupid. 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 Really stupid. Stupid. Dumb. Stupid.
All right.
Charlie grabs his hand and stops him.
Pick a stupid show and live with it.
Forget it. I'll just go to my room.
Jake, wait. Nice going, cool uncle.
Oh, now it's my fault? Let me tell you something. Between you and your wacko wife, I'm an oasis of normality around here.
The beautiful girl appears.
Charlie? Are you ever going to come back upstairs?
She's just wearing a dressing gown. Alan looks at Charlie.
I'm still an oasis.
The girl sways to the music. In the kitchen.
Morning.
Morning. Did your guest leave?
Nah, she's sleeping in. Please do not let me forget again.
He pours coffee. Jake enters.
Hey, buddy. I made silver dollar pancakes.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, come on, they're your favorite.
I said no.
You know what I was thinking? Maybe later we could have a jam session. You on guitar, me on piano.
I'd rather watch cartoons.
Hey, what is your problem?
Charlie, calm down.
No, I'm sorry, but when I was his age, I had to walk 5 blocks in the rain to have a jam session.
Yeah, well, yelling at him isn't gonna help. I was thinking that maybe the three of us could go out and do something fun today.
You want fun? Let's take him to the Rose Bowl swap meet and see what we can get for him.
Or we could be patient and maybe eventually he'll tell us what's bothering him.
Where's my grandson?
Or we could scare it out of him.
Granted, I don't know what it's like to be an 11-year-old boy, but I do know one thing, sweetheart. You have no idea what real unhappiness is.
Evelyn sits with her arm around Jake.
Real unhappiness is being totally ignored by the very people you gave birth to. Real unhappiness is when you're recovering from liposuction and your only grandson doesn't even send you a get-well card. And FYI, I only had that surgery so you wouldn't have a grandmommy with matronly upper arms.
Well, if he didn't need a shrink before, he needs one now.
Judith, Charlie, and Alan sit in the therapist's waiting room.
I'm telling you, you're spoiling the kid. I didn't have a shrink when I was Jake's age, and my childhood was twice as screwed up as his. I mean, you're a little cuckoo, Judith. But compared to our mother, you're like a fart in a hurricane.
Judith blinks and looks away. Alan turns to Charlie, looking puzzled.
Mom never took you to see Dr. Demarest?
Frowning, Charlie slowly turns to Alan.
You got to see a shrink?
Oh, just a couple of times for the night terrors, agoraphobia, and bedwetting.
Did it work?
Hey, I can pee outside in the dark. You be the judge.
You know, Charlie, if you think I'm cuckoo simply because I want to help my child express his feelings, well, then I think you have a big problem.
Charlie turns back to Alan. Opening and closing his hands in front of his face, he impersonates a cuckoo clock. Jake and the therapist are sitting on beanbags.
So, Jake, how you liking that beanbag chair, huh? You comfy?
It's okay.
Because we could sit in the little chairs. You know, sometimes I like to sit in a little chair. Makes me feel like a giant.
Jake stares at her incredulously.
Hello, Jake. I can barely see you from up here.
He just looks at her.
Do you sometimes feel like a small, insignificant person in a world full of giants?
Not really.
Well, maybe that's just me. So anyhow, I was hoping we could talk for a little bit, draw some pictures, maybe play some games. Do you like puppets?
Not really.
She raises her hand, wearing a glove puppet of a cow.
Neither do I! But sometimes they help when I'm in a bad mood.
Jake stares. In the waiting room...
I hope she gets him to talk about the divorce.
Yeah, it's a traumatic thing to see his father kicked out of his house.
It wasn't exactly healthy for him to see the life being sucked out of his mother.
Excuse me, but that was going on for years, and he was still a happy little boy.
Charlie's reading.
He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a blank. Plum, right?
You know, Charlie, it would be nice if you took a little responsibility for Jake's problems.
She's right, Charlie.
Me? What did I do?
Well, you taught him how to gamble.
You brought strange women into the house.
You taught him how to curse in Italian.
Your drinking sets a bad example.
Hey, let's get one thing straight. I taught him how to curse in Spanish.
Okay. Well, Jake and I had a wonderful talk, and now I'd like to speak with the grown-ups.
As Jake goes to sit down, Alan and Judith stand up.
Aren't you coming in, Charlie?
No, I'm still trying to find the toothbrush in the tree here.
Is this Uncle Charlie? Well, I definitely want to talk with Uncle Charlie.
Charlie turns on Jake.
Thanks a lot.
Jake waits outside in the consulting room.
No, please. Make yourselves comfortable.
They look around. The therapist sits on a proper chair. Alan and Judith take the small chairs and Charlie flops onto the beanbag. They all look at Charlie.
Okay, well, Jake and I had a very nice little talk. I invited him to share his feelings with me in a confidential, non-threatening context. And after hearing everything he had to say, I must tell you, very frankly, now, who am I kidding? I got nothing.
They all look puzzled.
That's it? $150 an hour for I got nothing?
It's $175, but that's not really the point now, is it?
What did he tell you?
Well, he claims nothing's bothering him. He claims there's nothing wrong, but when I probe just a little bit...
Speaking of which, did I leave that girl at the house?
Shut up, Charlie.
Don't tell me to shut up.
Calm down.
I don't even know what he's doing here.
I'm trying to keep your kid from turning into a neurotic basket case like my brother.
Hey,
maybe then he won't marry the first woman he meets.
You're a lousy brother.
The cow glove puppet.
Even cows know words can hurt.
The cow looks round at them. Charlie frowns. Later at home, they sit round the kitchen table.
Jake, you know that even though your mother and I bicker sometimes, we will always love you, no matter what.
I know. And honey, you also need to know that our splitting up had absolutely nothing to do with you.
I know.
It's just that Mommy has a right to be happy.
Yeah, he knows.
And whatever's bothering you, you know I had nothing to do with it, right?
Yeah.
See?
Oh. Can I go to bed now?
Now? Jake, it's only 7 o'clock.
I'm tired.
All right, honey, I'll come tuck you in before I leave.
Jake hurries off.
Okay, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, it's a symptom of clinical depression.
You would know.
Please, if my kids had gone to bed at 7 o'clock, I'd have dipped myself in gravy and danced naked on the rooftops.
They watch Berta walk out.
She does make a hell of a gravy.
The next morning, Charlie's at the piano. He writes on a piece of paper, then starts.
Morning, Charlie.
Morning.
In the kitchen.
Morning, Dad. Morning, Berta.
Morning.
Morning.
So, Dad, what are we going to do today?
I don't know. What would you like to do?
I don't know. Something fun. Maybe we can jam, Uncle Charlie.
Great.
Hey, Dad, can I eat my cereal down by the TV?
Sure.
Thanks.
Charlie and Alan look astonished.
I hope you don't mind, but I talked to him before he went to sleep last night.
What did you say?
I said, drink this bottle of prune juice.
She bangs the empty prune juice bottle on the table.
You feed him nothing but pizza and pancakes. It's a wonder his eyeballs are still in their sockets.
Charlie and Alan slowly turn and look at each other. A jam session. Alan's on tambourine. Jake glares. Charlie holds up his hands.
Wait a minute. Oh, man, not again.
He unplugs and runs out of the room. ITFC audio description.
Jake Harper, unplugged.